My aim in life is to be better than anything I ever dreamed for myself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. My aim in life is to be better than anything I ever dreamed for myself. We've all been raised by our family of realists, our mothers and fathers and our aunts and uncles and our teachers and our ministers and everybody in our world. They all say, be realistic, be realistic. You shouldn't dream your wildest dream, because if you dream your wildest dream, you're just going to have a harebrained idea. The harebrained is the idea, and that you're never going to accomplish that. You cannot accomplish that. You cannot accomplish your wildest dream. I mean, it just isn't done. And yet, all of the accomplishments that we have seen on the face of the earth today have been somebody's wildest dream, have been somebody's goal for themselves that had never been met. And they went out and did it. They did not accept that they couldn't do it. You know why they didn't accept they couldn't do it? They didn't tell anybody. They didn't tell anybody so somebody could say to them, hey, that can't be done. You can't do that. We don't need any negative garbage in our garbage can while we are producing positive things. Our garbage can should be completely emptied, shook, scrubbed down. Not even the tiniest little speck of can't do it in there. And then we go forth. Take away all those experiences that say it can't be done, and that we don't know how to do it, and we haven't got the ability to do it. Get all of those out of our consciousness. And then move into our wildest dream. Now, I ask many of our students over the years to dream their wildest dream. And they say, oh, that's old hat. Oh, Herb, you talk about that every once in a while. Doesn't mean a thing, doesn't mean a thing. And that's true, doesn't mean a thing. You know why it doesn't mean a thing? Because you still believe your wildest dream is impossible. And that's silly. Because the only thing that's impossible is to dream that your wildest dream is impossible, not your wildest dream. Because that's there. If it came to your attention, if it came into your mind, into your thought, it is possible. Now, how are you going to carry it out? Oh. Okay. We look at Jesus. He's nice to look at, you know. And Jesus said, you are healed according to your belief about yourself. It's done unto you according to your belief. Now, Jesus could say it's done unto him according to his belief. And Jesus could have walked into the hospitals that they had in those days, whatever they were, and looked at the ill people and said, you're home perfect, you're home perfect. Get up and walk. Go take your bed and walk. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Because he was teaching how to do it. Now, could he have done it?
Mm-hmm.
Did he do it sometimes?
Yes.
Yes, he did. And did you hear about it? No, you didn't. You only heard about the naughty people that he worked with, the naughty, naughty, naughty people. He said to the blind man, go and wash your eyes in the river Shalom, and your healing is perfect. But go and tell no one. So he went to wash his eyes. And as soon as he did, before I couldn't see, now I can see. My God, my God, my God, you know. And of course, everyone was dubious that it was for real. That those things have happened occasionally, you know. They come and go. And so it went. Now it should have stayed. But he did not follow the principle of the teacher who taught him. Now, there are many people that Jesus worked with, and we've read about them, and he did not say to them, go and tell no one. He raised Lazarus. He didn't say, now, Lazarus, shut your mouth about this. You know, don't you tell your sisters, don't you tell anybody. You know, just go out and live another life. Have a nanda plume. But no, he didn't say that. He just said, he only sleeps. But you see, he didn't do something to him. that was unusual. He merely awakened a sleeping man. He only sleeps. He's not really dead. You're thinking he's dead and that he cannot come back. But you see, what is your wildest dream? We could go through many of the Bible stories where Jesus healed, raised, and so forth, but we're not trying to prove something there. We're only saying that you, too, can do anything like that. Now, say, for instance, you have a son, and this son is going through some experiences that are not harmonious with your attitude about yourself. And so you say, oh dear, my son's going through these experiences that are not harmonious with myself. Oh dear, my poor son. Oh, my poor me. Oh. And then somebody else comes along, has a son who's going through those experiences. And he or she says, oh, is that what your son is going through? Join the club. But I chose to end that. I chose to end that for me. I chose to end my son having a difficult time with his life for my consciousness. I don't care. My son is my creation. But he must do his own thing. No, he mustn't. He must do whatever I, in my consciousness, have for him. And I'm responsible. So, I just say, my son is doing everything in a perfect way. I expect to have a visit, so I say, my son and my grandson are coming to visit me. Well, your son didn't say your grandson was coming. Your son didn't say this. You said, hey, I'm the creator of my world. I'm creating him coming. I'm creating these things all in divine order. You understand? Mm-hmm. But I have to put the causes in motion. So I contact my son. I don't have to. I can do it without contacting him. But I contact my son and I say, gee, it's going to be so wonderful to see Junior here. It's going to be so wonderful to have these things here. It's going to be so wonderful. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. This is so great. You're fantastic. And then what happens? He's there. But if you say, he'll never come, he'll never come. My goodness, how can that ever be? He'll never come. And then he doesn't come, does he? Now, why do we do that to ourselves when we know what the reason is and how to put the causes in motion? Why do we do that? We do that for one simple reason. That's the way the world has always done it. That's the way the world has always done it. Do you have the right to tell another person how to live their life? Yes! Because you're the creator. Now, if you're not the creator, then get rid of this world out here that you didn't create. You go to the world you did create. Did I create you in my world? Did I create all of you in my world as being the most beautiful, dynamic, forceful, positive people that ever lived?
Yes.
Yes. See how easy it was for her to say. None of the rest of you did, but that's right. Now, did I create you to be fantastic? Did I create you to be successful? Did I create you to have joy, harmony, peace, love, and joy, and you know, joy, and joy, and joy, and joy, and wealth, and health in your life? Yes. Now, what if you decided not to do that? What would have to happen? You would have to create yourself out of my world if you wanted to carry on something that's inconsistent with me. You'd have to create yourself out of my world. And even there, it wouldn't be so easy for you because you're still my creation. You're still my creation even in my invisible world. You may be over in China. You may be in San Francisco, you know. Mm-hmm. You're just out of my world. You're out of my sight. And you're doing whatever you're doing. But could you be anything less than I have created you to be? Would I? Well, yes, I would create you to be bad, or I would create you to be good. I would create you to be rich or poor. These are things we do. Now, let's just take a new creation. Here we are, sitting in front of our television, watching a lovely Disney movie, you know, and the news comes on. War is declared in Xville. And we say, where the hell is Xville? They're killing and slaughtering people by the hundreds of thousands. In Xville? Never even heard of it. No. And so we say, gee, that's interesting. I wonder if there's any more news on that. Any more news? Can we get any more information on that? Or do we say, what station did I tune into here? It's kind of a crazy station did I tune into. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. And there is no possibility of there being war anywhere in my consciousness. You understand? Mm-hmm. And if any station tunes in, or any newspaper comes in, or any information comes in, or if any fact goes on, it cannot be war if my consciousness is peace. Because I am the creator of my world. Now, if you're willing to say that, you are. I talked to a fellow who's taking the Course of Miracles. And very wonderful course. I've read the whole thing myself already. And it's a beautiful program. But he was saying to me, well, now this is the problem that we're having. And I said, in the Course of Miracles, it doesn't teach that. In the Course of Miracles, it teaches your only problem is the problems you create in your consciousness or you allow in your consciousness. Because you are the creator of your world, you're the master of your world. And it says everything that we say. It's really neat. There's a few other things, but basically everything. And he said, yeah, but. And I said, there are no yeah, buts. There is only the fact that you're the creator of your world. Now, what is your aim in life? Is your aim in life status quo? And I believe that is the aim in life for, unfortunately, a good number of people. You know what status quo means? Wars are wars. Peace is peace. Poverty is poverty. Illness is illness. There's a place for all of you in my world. Is that what you're saying? No. There is a place in my world for peace and harmony and joy and goodness and truth and abundance and health. That's what's in my world. And more. Every beneficial quality is a place in my world. That's why my aim in life is to be better than anything I ever dreamed possible. Now, we look at our world as it exists today, and it has ups and downs. When are we going to say there are no ups and downs? But of course, you know, a flat line on the screen that the doctors look at, you know, if it's flat, you're dead. So they like to see a little bit of vibration there, you know. So we want our steady awareness to be constantly increasing of who we are and what we are and why we are. And we're divine. We're fantastic. How can we be better than anything we dreamed about? Well, you see, this is our big difficulty. We are afraid to dream. I have a letter from a wonderful lady who is working in psychiatry and working in medical field of philosophy and psychology and so forth. And she's saying, I could sound like I was mentally unsound saying these things, that I listened to the voice within and stuff like that. But what is she really saying? She's really saying that she has been attracted into that field because that's where she believed that she could be most helpful. Was she being most helpful, being in that field, helping the people understand that they are divine? Or was she being most helpful, being in that field, helping those people to realize that that's just part of life that they must suffer under? Mm-hmm. You see, what is it that we are doing these things for? Are we doing these things because we like ourselves, because we delight in ourselves, because we think the world is wonderful? I just spent a six-hour period with my former wife up in Santa Cruz. And during that 6 hours, I had a very interesting journey. I had a journey back into what might have been, so to speak. And I thought to myself, now, why did I create this journey back into what might have been? Why did I allow myself to be thinking in this area? Why did these things happen in my consciousness? Well, it happened in my consciousness because I gave them permission. I gave them permission because the recent phone calls were all of an unhappy nature, of circumstances that she was going through. And instead of instantly saying with her, as a good practitioner should, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, I for a moment began thinking how I might help her to say things in a way that was going to be beneficial to her. And you see, that's not my job. My job is not to recognize the problem and give it a solution. My job is to say, all is in divine order, and let the divine order be the solution, whatever it may be, and I don't have to know it one little bit. You understand? Mm-hmm. I don't have to know it at all, because it's none of my business. The minute I allow myself to be compassionate, oh boy, the minute I allow myself to be caring in any way, there am I. There am I, a useless hulk. A useless hulk, drawn in by race consciousness, the conditions of the world, drawn in by all of the things that I don't teach. And yet, we all fall in that trap now and then. And when we fall in that trap, we bear the harvest. And when we bear the harvest, can we catch our breath and come back and speak the truth and say, well, I blew it, so I'm going to just suffer something. Nope. I'm putting a new cause in motion. Bop! All is brand new. All is brand new. The forgotten is past. The past is forgotten. There's nothing left, you know? There's nothing left. We don't have to give 1 ounce of energy to the past. We don't have to give 1 ounce of energy to anything that has happened before. The only thing that we're concerned about is the now. Okay. My aim in life is to be better than anything I ever dreamed for myself. Now, I've had lots of dreams. They're fun dreams. And lots of dumb dreams, too. And they were dumb dreams. But the fun dreams were dreams where I was lifting up my consciousness, soaring into new heights, soaring into new realizations of who I was. And then the miracles started to happen. Then the great and wonderful things began to happen, because I did not have to go through the chain of commands. I did not have to go through what were the techniques to accomplish this. Ellen, what is the phrase where you are finishing all your course in knowledge? What's the phrase?
I know that I know.
That's
that
right,
I
exactly.
Know. God in me is the answer.
Exactly. You see, she didn't have to think about that long. I finished my course of wisdom, of knowledge. And how do I start the course?
I know that I know that I know.
How do you finish it?
I know that I know that I know.
And what do you do?
And I know.
Exactly. So, you don't have to get out textbooks. You don't have to get out anything. For whatever the information is you have, you know. Now, you have seen a lot of stupid, idiotic people, some people say. And these people go up and they say, what's the matter with your computer? I don't know, it just doesn't want to work. Well, have you pressed this button? And they press a button. They have no idea what they're pressing, but yet the divine in them does. And poof, it worked. How did you do that? What did you do? Well, it's not that they press the button to make it work. It's that they believed they would press a button and it would work. See, the button was just an exercise,
excuse.
An excuse. It had nothing to do with making it work. But they believed, oh, I'll press that button and it'll work. And that might have been the button void. Or erased, or off, you know. It could have been the wrong button, but it did it all. You see, when you do things knowing that it works, knowing you can do it, magic happens. And of course, when you don't do things knowing it'll work, then magic happens too. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. And it is designed to work 100% of the time. And that's the wonderful thing for all of us. It's designed to work, and we know that. My aim in life is to be better than anything I ever dreamed for myself. So let's start dreaming our wildest dreams. Dreaming the dreams that seem so far removed from whatever we could ever expect for ourselves. And yet it's our reality. My aim in life is to be better than anything I ever dreamed for myself. Practice it. I love you. I love you. I love you.